get to the message in a minute, but go to Mark chapter 11. The Gospel of Mark in the 11th chapter. I want you to see something really clearly. While we're worshiping, we're singing those songs, it's just incredible. But how many know that God is real? Okay, I got three. Okay, but God is real, right? And here's something that Jesus said. He said, if you're my sheep, then you know my voice, right? What does that mean? That if I'm saved, if I'm born again, then I should expect to hear the voice of God. Now, how we hear it, you know, sometimes is different. Most of the time when I hear God's voice, it's I have a thought that comes up to my mind that I know is not my thought. And I meditate on that and prove it out through the Word. That's what happens. But look at Mark 11 and verse 23. It's not going to work for me to read Matthew chapter 11. So Mark chapter 11. It says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain..." I just want you to notice something that it doesn't say, "Listen, people, when I say to this mountain..." He said, "I'm saying to you that when you say to the mountain..." Faith always speaks to the mountain that it's trying to move. So in other words, if you have a situation in your life that you know wants to change, you need to speak to that thing, and you need to speak to it the Word of God. So in other words, if worry is a mountain in your life that's causing you not to be able to sleep, you need to speak to worry. You need to call and you need to say, "Worry, I will not have you in my life any longer. You have to move out." Why? Because Jesus said, or Paul said actually, to fret not, don't worry about anything or have anxiety over anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So if worry is in between God's guarding my heart and mind, I've got to speak to the worry. I have to speak to it. Well, I'm not really a vocal kind of guy. I'm just going to trust God. No, He said, if you have a mountain, then you have to speak to it. So if you're not speaking to it, guess what? It's going to stay. Hallelujah. So start speaking to your mountain. And I think at times with baby Christians, older Christians who are more mature can speak to their mountains for them. But as we grow in the Lord, we've got to start speaking to our own mountains and enforce that in our own lives. Glory to God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Last week we talked about prophecy. Anybody remember that? And we talked about how that God wants us all to prophesy. And prophecy, again, is really, it's inspired speech or inspired talk. When I talk, God uses me to speak to somebody. And here's the cool thing about prophecy is if God's speaking to you to somebody, you're speaking to their heart and not just to their head. In other words, God knows what's on the inside of them and what they need spoken to about and how to reach them. And as we trust God with that, glory to God, it absolutely changes things. But this morning, I want to talk to you about speaking, tongues, speaking and praying. In other words, I want to talk to you about what tongues are, what they mean, what their application is, how they function, what's supposed to be going on. Because if we have a tool in our arsenal that God wants to bless us with, why aren't we using it? Why don't we use it? And a lot of times, there's a verse in the Scripture says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. My people perish because they don't know what they're doing. My people perish because they don't know what I'm doing. And so this morning we're going to talk about this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Again, let me say that again. Pursue love and desire spiritual gift, but especially that you may prophesy. In other words, believe God, pursue the gifts, but especially that God can use you to speak to somebody else, and when you're speaking to them, it can touch their hearts for God. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that there are a lot of people that you've witnessed to or talked to that even if in their hearts they don't respond to what you said, God's going to hold them accountable to what He said through you. There's coming a day. Did you know this? There's coming a day when we stand before God. I don't know how He does this, but He's God. I'm not. And we do have eternity. But He's going to take every person and like a video, He's going to show you your whole life. and they say there's no sorrow in heaven. So I'm assuming that He's going to, for all those that are saved, the blood is just going to blot all that out. But there's coming a day, right, when even those who are atheists or deny Christ or whatever, that they're going to say, "Here was your opportunity. Here was your opportunity." But watch this. It's up to us to be available for God to use to speak divinely through us. I have to believe, and I do, that the anointing or God touching me is upon me every time I get up here and do what I'm doing right now. I believe that I'm anointed by the Spirit of God to speak the Word of God. And I believe also that all I would have to do is read this, and it has the potential to change your heart because this is the Word of God. Hello? This is the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. But now watch this. Let's go on. Verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, the Spirit, he speaks mystery. But he who prophesies speaks to edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So tongues is for self-edification. What does that mean? Tongues, when you're praying in the Spirit, when you're praying in your prayer language, and I'll explain that a little bit more, but when you're praying in your prayer language, you're building yourself up. Go back to verse 2. It says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." That word mysteries means hidden things that can be revealed. Right? So he who speaks, when I speak in tongues in my prayer life, I don't speak to men, but I speak to God. Right? And I won't understand what I'm saying, but I believe that God hears me and that I'm praying. And we'll more cement this with the Word of God coming up, but I believe that I'm praying according to the perfect will of God. We're going to see in a little bit that sometimes we don't know how to pray. You know, God puts somebody on our hearts and we don't know how to pray. It's like, "Lord, I'd like to pray and I want to pray for so-and-so, but I just don't know what to pray or how to pray." We can go over and start praying in the Spirit if we believe God and trust God. And we can start praying for them in the Spirit, in tongues. And God will use that to pray according to His perfect will. I can't tell you how many times I didn't know what to pray, but I just began to pray in the Spirit. I just began to pray in the Spirit. And I'm not saying that I got revelation or I got this big video screen vision type of anything, But in my heart, I began to know that I had the answer to my prayers. Come on. But we've got to understand and believe that when I pray in the Spirit, I'm not just praying to men. And I'm not praying so men can say, boy, look at him. But I'm praying directly to God. In Jude verse 20, let's go there. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. The book of Jude and the 20th verse, because there's only one chapter. He says this, he says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. I believe this is speaking of praying in tongues, but I also believe praying in the Spirit from the fact that God can give you in your heart what to pray for. Praying in the Spirit. But building yourself up, what does it mean to build yourself up? It means to encourage. It means to strengthen. It means to have a foundation that you can build upon. Right? Build up. Build up. And back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Edifies or charges himself. How many have one of these? Well, what happens when you don't charge it for a while? The battery goes dead. What do you have to do to get it to come back on? You have to charge it. You have to plug it in. Praying in tongues plugs you back into God so that you can be charged up again. Are you listening to me? But here's another thing that it does, and it's amazing. How many of when you go out to start your car, hopefully, we had one this morning that didn't, but when you go out to start your car, that you turn the key and you'll hear this, it'll go off, right? But what happens if you left the lights on? You go out there and you'd hear, click, 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 right? But watch this. Your battery, all the time that motor is running, your battery's being charged because of the alternator system. It's charging, and it's charged and it's ready to be used right now. You don't need the battery right now, but it's there ready for you to use when you need it. So praying in the Spirit, oftentimes, it's preparing you for something and equipping you for something that you need in the future. Right? I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and it's just amazing to me how much more sensitive I am to the Spirit or hearing His voice when I've spent time praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I'm building myself up. I'm edifying myself. Come on. Are you with me? Now, there's controversy about what's the initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was in my growing up in the faith and my teachers and everything, they said, well, the evidence is that you speak in tongues. And I kind of lean that way, but I think there's enough grace in there that's not necessarily true. But watch this. I'm not as concerned about the evidence of being baptized with the Spirit as I am with the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit being in your life. Because the gifts of God are exactly that. They're gifts. Right? They're gifts. But the fruit of the Spirit is something comes out of your relationship with the Spirit, and it's the evidence of the things that are produced by you being with the Spirit. So what I'm saying is this, when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we're allowing the Spirit of God to speak through us to God, and it produces something in us at the same time. Glory to God. I'm being built up. I'm being built up. I'm being built up. Again, there's a fellow, he got saved and he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he thought, he heard that, you know, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up. And he started praying the Holy Ghost, and he had to drive from like Houston, Texas, back up to Dallas, Texas. And so he was praying in the Holy Ghost the whole time. And he said, all I felt was a hoarse throat. Because I was praying in the Holy Ghost the whole time. So I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel like this woo, woo, you know, type of thing. He said, but that night, I was going to a Bible study. And when I got to the Bible study, the leader said, brother so-and-so, do you have something? And he said, the minute I opened my mouth, it was like, whoosh. What I've been praying about from Houston to Dallas was for that very moment that I was given the opportunity to prophesy. Are you getting what I'm saying? Glory to God. So we have to be in a position where we're praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't believe that I pray in the Holy Ghost enough. I believe there's more. And why wouldn't I? If I know that I'm praying and I'm building myself up, why wouldn't I pray in the Holy Ghost more? Well, I think part of the reason is because I get lazy. But the second part is I don't really believe what I'm saying. You know, now I do believe what I'm saying. And I do believe that you get built up. And I can tell you experientially how God has used me, how God has blessed me, how God has directed me by spending much time praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me just say this. I've told you this story before, but it fits in here, and some of you haven't heard it, so you're going to, if you've heard it, you've heard it again. But watch this. I was praying for a man, and I was praying for his physical being. And I, you know, how you do, Lord, bless him, heal him, whatever, and you pray, he's got this, he's got that, Lord, I'm. And you run out of things to pray for in about, you know, 30 seconds. Maybe a minute if you're a big talker. Right? But you run out of things to say. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to pray in the Holy Ghost for him for a while. Now, I would tell you, I was kneeling by my bed. And for the next 45 minutes, I began to pray in the Holy Ghost for this man and what he was going into an operation the next day. So I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And when I say that, I'm praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit for 45 minutes. And all of a sudden, in the back of my head, right here, I got this pain that I'd never had before. And it was just intense. And I was going, what is this? But I prayed more and prayed more and prayed more. And a few minutes of that, it broke. Well, here's what happened. I knew at that moment that I had the answer for the man's surgery the next day. And I knew exactly where it was, an aneurysm that he had in his brain. This was way back in the day before the surgery was as common. And it was kind of a scary thing. But I knew that he would be well. And I knew that he would be healed. And so the next day when I talked to this man's son, I said, I know the surgery went well. And I said to him, don't tell me where the aneurysm was, but I'm going to tell you. It was right here. He said, how did you know? Because I prayed in the Holy Ghost, and I prayed according to the perfect will of God, but I prayed the mysteries of God out into the flesh, and God used me in that situation. Glory to God. And God wants to use all of us in that same situation. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to talk a little bit this morning too about praying in the Holy Ghost in a church service versus praying in the Holy Ghost in a prayer meeting, because there's different applications. Acts chapter 2. And And look at verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound of heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here's what I want you to know, that it sat on each of them and they all spoke with tongues. I believe it's a gift from God that everybody can have. But it's not something that you pray out of your head. It's something that you pray out of your spirit. Right? You pray it out of your spirit. Now if you go on here, it tells the story. In verse 6, it said, that when they heard this sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And while I'm speaking, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But watch this. Everyone heard them speak in their own language. There's the prayer language that you get personally between you and God that you can have by praying in the Spirit. But there's also the supernatural gift of speaking in tongues. And sometimes that gift shows up in this way. It shows up in such a way that somebody that you're speaking in tongues in a language that you don't know, but they hear it in their native tongue. Now, don't go try this out. I'm praying in the Spirit, so I'm going to go into the Chinese restaurant and start to, from the head, you know, and try to make something up. It's as the Spirit wants to see it happen. But let me tell you two stories that I've heard of concerning that. There was this lady, she was at this big, nice, fancy hotel. She was, just dressed to the nines, and she was just, you know, but God spoke to her and said, go talk to that lady, and I want you to go speak in tongues to her. Now, that would be, I don't know about you, but I'm going, huh? But she was obedient, and she did it, and she began to speak with other tongues as God led her to. And this lady, she's just tears coming down her face. As she's speaking, and the lady who's speaking in tongues going, this is weird, but she kept it up. But watch this. What happened was the lady who heard it was from the Upper Nile region, where they only one place in the world where they speak a certain dialect. And what happened was that this lady was talking, she was sharing in the Spirit, even though she didn't know what she was saying, she was sharing the gospel, and the lady heard the gospel in power for the very first time through somebody being obedient to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Look at chapter 1 Corinthians 12. And look at verse 4. So there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all in all. So I'm just going to break this down a little bit. What this means is God wants everybody to operate in spiritual gifts. But He's going to use everybody differently. In other words, I might have the gift of the word of wisdom, and you might have that same gift, but it might come out differently in you. But here's the main point that I want to make, is that God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, said, pursue, desire spiritual gifts. If they're available to you, why not have them? Now watch this. If we went to Ephesians chapter 3, we would see this, that spiritual gifts as well as ministry gifts are not really about the person that's receiving the gift. It's the person that the gift is directed toward. In other words, God's going to use you to bless somebody else with the gift. Okay? I'm going somewhere, so stick with me. Verse 9 it says, or 7 it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one Say, I am. Say that with me. I am an each one. I'm an each one. Come on. Right? So the manifestation or the you know, if something manifests, if Jesus manifests right here, that means that we'd see Him right here. He showed up. Right? Some people, it's kind of like they manifest at work when they want to. But it's like this is how God shows up. All right? So it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for all. For one is given the word of wisdom. And I'm not going to define all of these today. But the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. We've heard that here in the church. It doesn't happen every week, but we hear it where somebody will give a tongue and somebody will give the interpretation of the tongue. In other words, there will be a person here that speaks in tongues, and this person over, or it may be the same person, interprets whatever is being said in tongues. Now, I've been a witness to this, and I've heard other testimonies of where there's been somebody in the crowd who was of a different nationality, and they heard this go on. They heard a tongues and interpretation of tongues, and they said it was exactly, because the one who was speaking in tongues was speaking in their native language, they said it was exactly what the interpreter said it was. Right? That's all subject to us being judgmental of what's said. In other words, if I speak in tongues and I come up with, but God doesn't mind whether you worship the devil or not, we all know that that's probably not true. Not probably, it's not true. Right? And we have to judge that. And every one of these gifts of the Spirit are subject to the church's oversight. Not just mine, but yours also. Right? But what I want to point out that there is the gift of speaking in tongues with the interpretation of tongues. But that's not necessarily the prayer language. It can be addition. Now, I will say this. Praying in tongues, I believe, opens you up for the spiritual gifts to be in greater manifestation in your life. I say that experientially. When I'm praying in the tongues a lot, it's just amazing how I get different words. I just know. And again, I grew up in a situation where my ministry started this way. I was born again, like in July. But in October, the people that are with said, well, Wednesday, you're teaching. I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't know all the books of the Bible. I had to go to the front of the book to see where the chapter was or where the book was to find it. I had to do all that because I wasn't very smart or intelligent in biblical things. However, I had read where Jesus told the apostles, He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. But in that self same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you the things to say. So this is what I did. I would go to the Bible study like 15 minutes early. And some of them, I was the only leader there. I was the most experienced one there, save 3 months. But I prayed. I got there early. I sat out in my car, either on the curbside or in their driveway, and would pray for 15 to 20 minutes before I went in the Holy Ghost. What do you mean? I just prayed in tongues. And then believing that God was going to use me in that way, I began to go like this. I had an old Dakes Bible, and it was a New Testament. Dakes was a commentator, and anyway, lots of notes, but it was huge. It was a big thing. You could probably, give somebody a concussion if you hit them with it. But I would do this. I'd say, Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 5. I've never read Romans chapter 5 in my life, but turn in there, and somehow God used me to touch people, and people got saved, and people got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they grew in the Lord and grew in the hunger of the Lord just simply because I believed God, but I also acted by praying in tongues, edifying myself so that the Spirit of God had the ability to speak to me so He could speak through me. So again, praying in tongues is praying to the Lord and letting the Lord speak through you mysteries. But oftentimes, if you're praying in tongues, God will give you thoughts on what you were just praying. Glory to God. It's so exciting. Go to Romans chapter 8. I hope you all are getting something this morning. Romans chapter 8. How many have ever prayed for somebody and you really don't know what to pray for? I'll tell you that most of the time that's the experience. Somebody says, pray for brother so-and-so, they're in the hospital. And you go, okay, God, heal them, do, you know, pray whatever, pray for their family, pray all that. That's good. And there's nothing wrong with that. But oftentimes, you don't know what's at the heart of the issue. Renita, one time when she was praying for this lady, and the lady was coming to our church years and years ago, and she was praying for her, and this lady had a particular habit. Well, she was a smoker, and she was trying to be delivered of that smoke, and Renita was just really praying about it. She got there, and she was going to really minister to her on this. But the lady started talking to her, and she found out that smoking really wasn't that big of an issue compared to some of the other things that were going on in her life. Right? So here's what I'm saying. Oftentimes when we're praying for something, we're praying for what we know, but we don't know the whole truth. We don't know the full experience. And especially today, glory to God, if you're going to try to pray for our country, nobody knows the truth because nobody's telling the truth, and everybody's truth is different. And I hope you've shut off the TV. But anyway, that's just me. Look at verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's a place in praying in the Spirit where you get, and it's like a moaning or groaning can come up. I don't think you should try to produce that, but it comes up. But here's the point. I don't know always how to pray. But when I pray in the Holy Spirit, I'm praying for you in the Spirit, I know that I'm praying according to the perfect will of God. And when I run out of things to say and after a few minutes, but there's still a burden on my heart for you, I need to be praying in the Spirit more. This one pastor that I know, he said, if you walk around me, you'll either hear one of two things. And he said, my staff will back this up. He said, you'll either hear me singing a worship psalm to myself, or you'll hear me pray in the Spirit. Always. Always. Glory to God. Let me tell you another story with this. It's like my spiritual father, Kenneth Hagin, he said that you know, he didn't have a specific time of prayer. Like, he didn't pray from 6 to 7 or whatever. But he prayed in the Spirit all the time. So he would be praying in the Spirit. And this is the cool thing about praying in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit while you're looking at somebody. I've done it before. And oftentimes, watch this, when I'm praying for somebody, and it's the gift of the Spirit, and praying in tongues for somebody up here that they need healing or they need something, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and especially when I feel compelled to do that, but I'm praying that way because the Spirit of God knows what the heart of the matter is. And then oftentimes as we're praying that through, people will have something interpreted to them, and God will bless them through that. And the gifts of the Spirit can operate. I hope I'm making sense. That the Spirit of God can operate through. Glory to God. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we'll start to wind down. But God wants you to know what He knows. Let me say that again. God wants His church to know what He knows. And part of the way that He does that is that He gives you a prayer language that you can use to pray through what His will is. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'm not going to have time to finish all this today, but we have next week. Now watch this. How many know that there can be excesses in everything? Right? There can be excesses in everything. So, and Paul's going to delineate out here, and we'll look at this, and maybe, I don't think I'm going to be able to finish today, but I'll finish it next week. There's places in church to be speaking in tongues. But if all we did is come in here and speak in tongues, Paul said, that's stupid. But there is a place, especially if somebody's in the prophetic, where they can be speaking in tongues, and it seemed like a few minutes, but then of a sudden they speak in English. Oftentimes what they're doing is they're doing tongues and interpretation in the midst of what they're doing. So in other words, they're interpreting what God put on their heart in the beginning. And we'll see how that operates in here. But if somebody comes and all they're doing is speaking in tongues, and you know, that's not biblical and that's not order. But God wants to remain order. But watch this. I want to show you this. This is really crazy. And we'll read this a little bit, then we'll talk about it next week. Verse 14, it says, well, actually go to verse 12. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. In other words, if you just want to have the gifts of the Spirit operating in you and say, listen, God uses me this way, well, that's good, that's okay, but really the more important thing is God using you to touch somebody else? That's the big deal. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. And talking about a church atmosphere. Pray that he may, God, give me the interpretation, or at least give somebody else the interpretation. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Just because I'm praying in tongue doesn't mean my mind necessarily understands what I'm saying. But I know that I'm saying by the Spirit and praying by the Spirit. And God does and will give me interpretations. What's the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, but I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if I bless you with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of uninformed say amen at your giving thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Right? So there's a place for it. Now I want to be careful. I want to be biblical, but I want to be inclusive of everything. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, it said they were blown away because the Spirit of God fell on the Gentiles. And the Jews said, how can that be? But it's interesting what they said, because they said, we know it's the same Holy Spirit because we heard them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues and magnify God. There's a place in praying in the Spirit that you can worship Him in the Spirit. We've seen that happen. And again, I'm just going to close with this story, and you'll have to come back next week for the rest of it. But watch this. There was a place of praying in the Spirit where this was years ago. I was at a Full Gospel businessman meeting, and this happened quite regularly there. It was when the charismatic movement was really strong, and we begin to worship, and we'd usually, you know, this is the day the Lord has made, and a couple other songs every time, right? But then there come a place where there'd be a crescendo of worship in the Spirit, where people would begin to worship in the Spirit. And there was no music. It was all a cappella. But there was such a symphony and harmonies. And in the Spirit, it was just, and it was like there was a cloud that came down with this, and such a peace that came down with this. It was corporate, but it was anointed. And God used that to touch the people that were in the room. We'll come back and we'll take this up next week. But I just want to say a couple of things. I know personally, praying in the Holy Ghost for me, I've sensed the building up in my life, in my spirit. I've sensed it. I know it. It's recharged me. It's refocused me. When I slack off of it, I can feel the difference. But in the ministry part, when I'm ministering, there's often times where God will have me praying or singing in the Spirit over somebody, and it will affect them in such a way that's incredible. There have been a few times where the Lord has just directed me to sing over them in the Spirit. And I think, okay. And so I do it, and there's something that happens in the midst of that. I can't make that happen. That's as the Spirit directs. But it's the potential is there. So here's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying it's good for all of us to prophesy. And God wants all of us to be able to have inspired speech so that we can understand one another. But we cannot throw away speaking in tongues also. He didn't say don't speak in tongues, but He said do it decently and in order in a church service. And we'll talk about that more next week. Did y'all get anything? Like, if you have been filled with the Spirit, I just encourage you this morning, whether you're watching online or you're here in the room, to use your prayer language more. Use it more. Rather than listen to the radio on your driving to and fro, just shut it off. Just shut it off. Okay, I told you I was quitting. I am. But I got one more story with that, and then I definitely will pray. A pastor, he went, and he was called to this man who his family, his wife and I think it was two kids, had been killed in a car wreck. Awful. And so this man is meeting with this father, husband. And the father and husband, I don't know what I can do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know. And the pastor said, "You're going to make it. I know you're going to make it. And I'll be with you. I'll stand with you. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. You have 20 minutes to work and 20 minutes back home. I want you for the next year to just get in the habit and promise me that you'll pray in the Holy Ghost on the ride to work and the ride home." The man came back to him after a year and said, "Pastor, it's been supernatural." As tragic as that was, that praying in the Holy Ghost got me in touch with God in such a way that I'd never been. And He's directed my steps. Glory to God. There's power in praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be in Your Word. I ask You, God, to give us understanding. And for those of us who are believers but have never prayed in the Holy Ghost and never received that gift, Lord, I just pray that those who want it would ask you for it, and I know that you won't turn them away. But today, if you're watching and you want to be filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, just say, Father, fill me right now. And then just open up your mouth and let God speak through you, not through your mind, but through your heart. And words will start coming out. It may just be a few syllables at the beginning, but you'll begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, because He will fill you with His Spirit. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the main thing. That's the most important thing. God sent Jesus to take your place. So receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your ways and follow His ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. If I could have the worship team come up, we'll go with worship.